Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday, the 11th of October, 2024. I do apologise if this is a bit late. I was just involved in a comedy scene in the house. We've just moved into this house. It's been here 3 months and we're having renovations done. We've just bought an old washing machine. In fact, my wife bought an old washing machine for 30 quid. And we've used it for like 3 months and we just sold it for 50 quid. I say we, my wife. So anyway, she said, can you disconnect it? They're coming to pick that up. And so I disconnected it. Obviously, I turned the water off. So I disconnected it. Water went everywhere, gushing out of the pipe, everywhere in the small room, utility room I was in, all over me, over there. I was shouting my head off, turn the stopcock off. And of course, we're in a house, we've just... We've literally been in for 3 months. My wife is running around the house trying to find the stopcock while I'm getting soaked and basically flooding the utility room. Anyway, I've changed all my clothes now. I was literally head to toe soaked. At the time, it wasn't funny. We were shouting at each other. Why didn't you turn it off? I did turn it off! I did turn it off. There's a problem with the plastic tap there. Anyway, head to toe soaking wet, I was. Okay. Warning of UK slowdown despite August pickup. This is from the BBC. The UK returned to growth in August, but the broader picture is one of a slowing economy in recent months, the official statistics body has said. Economic growth is weaker compared to the first half of the year, the ONS has said. So these are the stats, okay? Now, there's people say, oh, back to growth in August. 1 month does not a growth picture make. So rolling 3 months, was this 3 months on 3 months, okay? Actual was 0.2% growth. Forecast was 0.3. Previous was 0.2. So we are down on the 3 months compared to last month. Year on year, actual, this is GDP of course, 1% growth. Forecast 1.4. And the previous was 0.9. I can't understand why I've seen a lot of headlines saying UK back to growth in August. What, from zero? So this is it, month on month. Actual growth in August was 0.2, forecast was 0.2, previous was zero. So people are championing that as, whoa, back to growth, 0.2% growth of GDP. And I said, this is 1 month data, probably going to be revised down. And I'd be very surprised, actually, if September actually grows. After what Starmer and Reeves have been saying about the economy and people pulling investment, it would be a miracle if we showed growth in September. I just think, isn't it ironic? The party that touted growth as a central policy in its manifesto have now managed to prevent investment and therefore growth. By the way, I did a poll. I'm going to try and do this on a weekly basis, a poll on X, Twitter, which is dying. It's absolutely dying. There's no interaction at all. I don't know whether it's because I'm in investing and people have switched off because the market's so bad or because Musk has knackered it. Anyway, a poll on Twitter. To be fair, it's got 131 votes, so that's fine. Over 100 is decent, I think. I said, do you think Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer's budget will be positive for the markets? In brackets, so far, I think it's fair to say their gloomy announcements have had a very negative impact. It is awful out there. So far, we've got pretty much 15% people saying yes, it'll be positive, 85% saying no. This is my thoughts, for what it's worth, just opinion. from, you know, survey one, pretty much. I think the doom and gloom is priced in. I said we are heading in towards a negative rate cycle, or a reduction in interest rates, as you say. And that's generally very good for equities. And we are heading into, of course, seasonal sort of positive months for the equities, in November, December. And this will be post two big events, the budget and the presidential election. So I think coming from a bearish stand is quite a good thing. It's contrarian, of course, because we don't want really a huge rally before the December, sort of November-December sort of rally. It's good to have a sell-off and be very negative before that. And I don't think the budget will be as negative as people think. Because at the moment we have uncertainty, so even the biggest worries get priced in. When we have some concrete policy announced, people know what they, you know what to work with. I think people will be a bit more sure and think, oh, okay, that was overblown. So I think right now, if you are looking at companies, there's a good company that's oversold and it rallied earlier on this year and it's got away from you, I think revisit it, because I think a rally is on the cards. So I'm quite bullish for the remainder of this year and probably for 2025, because interest rates are coming down and the biggest mover of markets are central banks. Okay, by the way, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. These are companies with a market capitalization below 100 million. Visit sharepickers.com/tips if you want to be part of my newsletter where I send out, you know, company information. They're not really tips, but it's catchier tips. I give information, I say, do your own research. But I'm invested in this company. I think it has upside. And also, just by signing up to that list gives you an added benefit. Listen to the end of the podcast to find out. Let's look at the markets then. How are the markets faring today? We've got FTSE 100 down 0.1% to 8,231. FTSE 250 up 0.1% to 20,733. The FTSE small cap down 0.1%, 6,924. And the AIM All share, it's, well, it's not really up, but we'll take it as a positive. It's up 0.01% to 734. It's barely head above water there. Commodities, Brent crude, it's up 0.1% to $78 a barrel. We got gold at up 1% to 2,666, the number of the beast, apart from the two at the front. Not far from all-time high. And copper, it's trying to rally a little bit. It is, sorry, bear with me, I have to convert this to ton. It is still below $10,000 a ton, at $9,850 a ton, but it's just off a recent high, which is $10,256. So it's dipped down, I think, because of China, of course, and that stimulation package, which didn't really live up to expectations. There's another one this weekend, by the way. They're announcing the stimulation package or stimulus package this weekend. And in fact, the Chinese markets, where are they? They've come off about, they've rallied like crazy. You know, for indices, the CSI 300, biggest 100 stocks in China, they've rallied by 41% from the 18th of September up until... I should say, 8th of October. But now they are down. What are they down? Let's look. In the last four sessions, they're down 13%. Imagine that. And indices, like the FTSE 100, rallying by 41% in less than a month, then down by 13% in less than 4 days. So I think it's safe to say the Chinese markets at the moment are very volatile. Okay, macro news, story number one. Rachel Reeves considers raising capital gains to 39%. This is from The Guardian. Rachel Reeves is considering raising capital gains tax as high as 39% in the budget amid a scramble to raise funds for crumbling public services. Treasury modelling being reviewed by the Chancellor, as seen by this newspaper, shows officials are testing a range of 33 to 39% for capital gains tax. The wealth tax is paid by about 350,000 people and is levied on the sale of assets, including second homes and shares, but at significantly lower rates than wages. Whitehall sources say there's growing concern about the limited options for tax rises to fill a hole the Institute of Fiscal Studies think tank says is as big as $25 billion ahead of the budget on the 30th of October. There's only, you know, three ways to do that easily. That's national insurance, it's VAT, and it's income tax. And they've ruled that out. And so they're scrabbling around for other areas, which will probably affect their growth policy. So, you know, it's ridiculous. I think capital gains tax is one of the reasons why, inheritance tax as well on AIM shares is one of the, or two of the reasons why the index has taken a bit of a hammering. We are now at December lows on AIM. But like I said, I think we'll rally. Story number two. This does seem like a bit of Labour bashing here, but it's not. It's what's in the papers, pretty much. The latest GDP figures comes ahead of International Investment Summit in London next week, where the government will try to attract billions of pounds of investment in the UK, which is very good. This is a positive story here. Today, the owner of Scottish Power, Spanish energy giant Iberdrola. I'll read that again. The owner of Scottish Power, Spanish energy giant Iberdrola. It's a pity, isn't it? It's known by a Scottish company. Anyway, they've announced plans to double its investment in UK over the next 4 years from $12 billion to $24 billion. So that is good news. But in the FT today, Financial Times, they say concerns over the quality of the organisation of the UK's investment summit have left some senior business figures wavering over whether to fly to the event on Monday. International and domestic executives have been frustrated by the lack of information from the UK government about its flagship gathering in London, with some even questioning whether the event will be worthwhile. People at two overseas companies on the list of those attending told the Financial Times they'd received out-of-office responses from some organisers this week when asking urgent questions. That is not good, is it? Well, unless on the email they've suggested someone else be contacted. But if you're organising that, then you shouldn't be out of the office. It's a big event, isn't it? While multiple attendees said previous UK investment summits had also been pulled together at late notice, and with similarly haphazard communications, several said this year's organisation was notably poorer. A person at a very large UK company whose CEO was invited said it was madness that the start time and venue for the event had not been confirmed with less than 5 days to summit. Executive eyebrows were also raised by an email from organisers this week, which inadvertently revealed the email addresses of more than 100 invitees and their staff because an official failed to use the BCC, blind copy function, when sending an update to the summit. That is basic 101, isn't it? How to write an email. Wow. And story three. Starmer unveils a new investment minister in scaled-up department. This is City AM. Starmer has announced the government's new investment minister after more than 100 days in office, amid criticism from Citigroup's that it took so long. Former Darktrace chief executive Poppy Gustafsson has been appointed to the role, taking charge of the scaled-up office for investment. The appointment is part of what government calls a Whitehall shake-up to reinforce its relations with business. This comes after the former holder of the office, Lord Dominic Johnson, said it was totally ridiculous. Ridiculous, totally ridiculous. Not to have filled the role in the first 100 days. Okay, micro news. In alphabetical order, the board of Crossword Cybersecurity, CCS ticker, announces in light of the current trading conditions and believes the company will need to raise up to $600,000 within the next 6 weeks if it's to continue operations. They are suspended, by the way. They didn't publish their results recently. While the company will continue to look for additional source of funding, the board believes the most effective way of maximising value for creditors, not shareholders, creditors, would be through the sale of its underlying business and assets. I don't think you'll raise much value for creditors that way anyway. Given the company's limited cash resources and significant debt levels, there can be no guarantee that any value will accrue to shareholders as a result of the proposed sale. Well, it's gone bust, hasn't it? I mean, it's no surprise. This company literally been listed since 2002. It's very small revenues, lost about 20 million. And to say it's a perennial disappointer is a disservice to perennial disappointers. But, you know, it's sad that this if there are so many investors out there losing money on this. But you know what? It's part of the cleanup, natural cycle, or natural selection of cleaning up AIM, I believe. You know, when you have bear markets like this, it wipes out a lot of these zombie companies, which is very good for the index. There's still a lot of zombie companies on AIM that drags the index down, and where private investors get hoodwinked into investing into by overly zealous or keen CEOs, and then it goes bust or just consistently loses money and the share price tanks for years on end. This is just one of those that needs to get wiped off AIM. Next, there's not much news right today, so I did pick up on this. Interseed, IGP is ticker there. Like I said, I do like the company. I question the valuation. This annoys me. Anyway, they are a leading cybersecurity software company specialising in digital identities. I was notified on the 11th of October that Nitin Patel, executive director, he's CFO, purchased a total of 1,504 shares at an average price of £1.62.2. What's the point of that? The share price did drop yesterday. And you know, why they've done this, I have no idea. So basically, that's 2,436 quid. To me, this is a little bit disingenuous. It's saying, look, I'm buying shares, why don't you? But 2,436 quid. Is the company not worth more than that? To me, is trying to hoodwink, again, investors into buying stock. I'm the CFO, but it has the opposite effect, I believe. When you buy so little shares, it just shows you have no belief in the company whatsoever. Otherwise, you'd put a decent chunk in. Following the purchase, Mr. Patel has a shareholding of 0.07% of the company. I don't understand this. If you are in a company and you are in charge of the figures of a company, you would, you know, if you had confidence in the prospects of that company at its current valuation, then you would buy a decent chunk, not £2,000 worth, just shy of £2,500 worth. And they're thinking, oh, hang on, there may be personal circumstances. Okay, this guy earned 383,000 pounds with bonus last year. And this is up from 231. So from it went from 231K up to 383K. And yet he bought less than £2,500 worth of shares. There are plenty of private investors not being paid anywhere near that money, and especially not from the company, who hold a lot more stock than him. So don't believe it, unless you get a non-exec, an executive director, you know, putting in a decent chunk. And I think in America, directors of the company are encouraged to buy about two or three times their salary, annual salary. And he's a guy with literally a lot less than that. It makes you question the business even more in my mind. It does. It has the opposite effect of what this director wanted to have. Market cap is 95 million. Forecast revenue for this year, 16.1 million versus 19 or 20 million last year. So the revenue is dropping forecast this year. And the profit before tax is forecast at 3 million. Down from 5.6 last year. That's a 46% drop. Now, the share price has come off very aggressively recently. Where is it now? IGP, let me just add this. IGP. And I think this buy yesterday, I don't know why, it dropped by 13%. Today it's down by 6%. And it's come down quite heavily. I mean, let's be honest, the valuation is quite rich, even if it's a good company. But having fake buys like this from directors does not help. Next, Oxford Metrics, smart sensing and software company servicing life sciences, entertainment, engineering, smart manufacturing markets, announces the acquisition of Semper Group Holdings, a measurement specialist solving manufacturing challenges across multiple industries. So they're buying this company, 5.5 million total consideration. It says Sempre has a profitable track record driven by an average growth rate in revenues of 8% over the past 4 years. An average growth rate in revenues of 8%. Is that total or year on year? Anyway, in the year to the 31st of December 2023, Sempre reported unaudited revenues of 6.5 million, in brackets 72% of the sale of meteorology solutions and 28% generated from services. So of that 6.5 million, 72% was generated from a sale of part of the business. And they had profit before tax of 700 grand, net assets of 1.7. So 1.8 million was from services of that 6.5 million. And I'm assuming the profit, where does that come from? Is that, was that 72% as well from the sale? If so, they only generated £476,000 profit from services. So they're buying this for 11 times profit. For a private company that's not growing very quickly, it doesn't sound like a bargain to me. Of course, Oxford Metrics recently announced a profit warning. They've got a chunk load of cash, over 50 million. But they did, like I said, the trading isn't going well. But they have announced a share buyback. Maybe you should have done this before. If you can't find decent acquisitions, you should have done this before or paid more of a dividend or a special dividend rather than just carrying on, pretending everything's going okay. Premier Miton Group, an AIM-focused fund management group, today announces an update in its unaudited statement, assets under management, for the fourth quarter. So they say 10.7 billion closing assets under management at the 30th of September, an increase of 9%, but there's 133 million of net outflows for the quarter. Michael Shear, CEO, said it was pleasing to see the net flows into our funds and segregated mandates were positive during June, July and August. Significant uncertainty ahead of the budget in UK later this month appears to have dented investor sentiment. Yeah, we all know about that. Well done, Reeves and Starmer. As a result, the improving environment for sales that we saw over the summer months has now reversed. Net flows for September were negative, and we also saw a meaningful redemption from one of the UK-focused investment trusts we manage, bringing a total outflow for the quarter to 133 million. This is disappointing. After a stronger inflow seen over summer months, it is to be hoped that once full impact of the budget is known, then investor confidence will return. There we are. Market cap 94 million, revenue forecast of 64, and profit after tax forecast about 9.85. I don't know if that's going to stay where it is. Next, Skin Biotherapeutics, SBTX, a life science company focused on skin health, announces the acquisition of the entire share capital of Biotech Solutions for a total enterprise consideration of 1.25 million, payable in cash on closing. The acquisition is being funded by a loan of 950K with an existing shareholder and subscription for £250,000 at 10.64 pence, as well as the utilisation of group cash reserves. BTS delivered 2.1 million revenue and half a million EBITDA, so it's not making a profit then, for the year. And based on its management accounts, it is forecasted to deliver 3 million of pro forma revenue and 900K of pro forma EBITDA for the year 2024-25. Now, Skin, the CEO is a good salesman. People believe the story. If you look at the figures, it's not playing out. They've got a market cap of 25 million. I can't understand why the market cap is so high. It's just because the story has been pumped. Basically, they've raised money previously. Forecast 2024, 1.1 million in revenue. Loss before tax is 2.9 million. And there's no profit forecast. I don't understand why this company is valued so highly. Don't get it at all. And if you listen to the CEO, you probably will get it until you look at the figures. Revolution Bars Group, RBG, has decided that a change of name would be better to reflect the makeup of the group as of today. The board is pleased to therefore announce the group's name has been changed to the Revel Collective. It's like a bag of sweets, is it? This is a company that nearly went bust recently. Revolution Bars Group, of course, floated, I think, just before the bull market. But the Revel Collective, is that the best you can come up with? How about the Last Resort or the Illiquid Bar or All Bar None? There we are. That's it. Not much of today, but I'm feeling cold because I'm soaking wet. So to receive my email, sharepickers.com/tips. And just by signing up this list means you qualify for 20% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include early access to share tips, access to live weekly webinars where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed, Access the Microcap League, where profitable microcap companies are analysed, colour-coded and sorted, then ranked into 20 different metrics. On 20 different metrics. Sorry, I can't speak today. A free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing, which is coming soon. Access to view my holdings, which I update after any new transactions. Access to educational videos on fundamental and technical analysis, plus portfolio management. Access the chat group, sharepickers.com/tips. That's it for this week. Speaky next to weeky. Have a nice weekend.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.